Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. It's a blessing to hear of opportunities the Lord has given you all to share the gospel. Of course, Pastor O's ministry at the FBFI coming up and sharing, I'm sure, many of the things that he has learned and been able to share with you all about evangelism. I can tell you, as many of you know, since you guys, many of you have not just started attending church here, that Pastor O did not begin to evangelize when he became pastor. I remember when I was in fourth grade, actually probably before that, and we would go on visitation together back in the good old days, and that would have been 9 years ago, so it would have been about 20 years ago. I remember doing that, and that was a lot of fun. He taught me how to walk, actually. Obviously, I knew how to walk, but he taught me how to walk really, really, really fast so that I could attempt to keep up with him. But it was I have fond memories of going door to door and doing other things such as that with Pastor O. And then especially on cold days, I enjoyed coming back to the car and locking him out so that he'd be standing out there in the cold. And I was a very kind young man. Fortunately, the Lord has since changed my heart, or at least that's what I tell you. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 really is about evangelism. Read the first verse, and we'll start in verse 9 and read farther down. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This, of course, is the context of this passage. In saying that they have a zeal which is not according to knowledge. They're trying to work out their own salvation. That's impossible. They have to trust in Christ. Then he explains what salvation is in verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the Lord is over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the earth. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was fond of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that your Holy Spirit convicted us of sin. We thank you, Father, that he showed us our need to believe in Christ and what Christ had done for us. We thank you for those whom the Holy Spirit used to share your word with us. We pray that we would likewise be faithful in sharing your word with others and trusting your Spirit to do your work in your time. We thank you, Father, for what you'll do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Since I was a child, I remember praying for my grandpa, my dad's dad, for his salvation. He grew up in a more or less Christian home. It's actually his sister, who I mentioned to you all, that is supporting us and is a very good prayer warrior. And toward the end of his life, he did say that he had trusted Christ as his Savior, my grandpa. That, I'm sure, is how Paul felt about Israel. When he prayed for them and prayed for them and prayed for them that they would be saved. And yet it seemed that every time that he went somewhere, the Jews rejected him, persecuted him, tried to kill him or throw him into jail or both if they could. And yet, when he's writing this book, this epistle to Romans, to the believers at Romans, he says that his heart is for Israel to be saved. So much so that he says in the next, be another chapter. He says that he would be willing to be sent to hell for them so that they could be saved. And say, well, that's kind of drastic. But really, that's exactly what Christ did for us. He gave his life. He suffered our hell on Calvary. He suffered that separation from God so that we could be saved. So here we see Paul with a large heart for Israel's salvation. He explains, of course, in verse 3, that they're ignorant of God's righteousness, which cannot be worked out, that it has to be only by faith. What I'd like to focus on tonight is an encouragement of us who are sharing God's word and to share God's word. Starting in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? First of all, he tells us how somebody can be saved. You have to believe on Christ. You have to call on Christ for salvation. Only Christ can save us. It's not our prayer that saves us. It's not even necessarily our faith that saves us. It's Christ that saves us. But we must place our faith in him. We must call on him for him to save us. It's not our good works. We can't go to church enough to be saved. We can't even witness to others enough to be saved. We can't read our Bibles enough to be saved. We can't pray enough to be saved. We can't do penitence enough to be saved. We have to believe in Christ and call on him who died and rose for us for our sins so that he can save us. But then he asks another question. He establishes that salvation is only by faith. So then he's asking, so where does faith come from? If you have to believe to be saved, where does this faith come from? Well, that's what he says in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? Well, obviously, for somebody to be saved, for somebody to believe on Christ, for somebody to call on Christ, we have to tell them. They have to hear the gospel. We hear of stories of missionaries and others, and maybe you even encountered this before, where somebody receives the gospel, and then they ask the question, how long have you had the truth? And why didn't you tell me earlier? In order for somebody to call on Christ, in order for somebody to believe in Christ, they first must hear. We must tell them. So the next question is, how do they hear? Well, obviously, we just answered that question. We have to tell them. How shall they preach? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Even when you're going out and witnessing and telling others that it is only in faith in Christ that they can be saved, and you don't get results 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 and you don't see anything happen, and people pray, maybe make a profession of faith, and you sign up for Bible study, but then weeks later, they're still not in church. This verse is telling us something. That the Lord is pleased with what you are doing. God is glorified in your service to him. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. What's the next question that we're asked here? Seeing, well, how do you be saved? Well, through faith. How does faith come? By hearing. Well, how do they hear? Well, we have to preach. We have to share with them what Christ has done. Well, then, why don't people believe? Why don't people believe? We see in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible has this gospel has power in itself. Romans 1:16. That's how Paul begins the book. Talking about the power of God that the gospel is into salvation to all those that believe. From the Jew first and also into the Gentile. Regardless of what country they're from. The gospel is powerful. Even across cultural barriers. When we share the gospel, really we have a sword in our hands. A sword of the Spirit. And the Spirit can take his word and does take his word and he cuts into people's consciences. and shows them how they are and convinces them that this is true. And even when they're debating with us, oh, well, how do I know there's a God? Or how do I know that your Bible's the right Bible? Or how do I know this? Or how do I know that? How can it be so easy as just to believe? When we're sharing God's word, it's powerful. And it does work in hearts. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then, why don't more people respond? I'm sure Paul was asking this question. We know what happened to him when he went and tried to reach Jews all around the world. He was gospel to Gentiles. Why was it the gospel to the Gentiles? Well, yes, God called him. But he tells us that he went first to the Jews and they rejected him. And then after they reject him, he says, the Lord has sent me to the Gentiles. And basically, now I see why. Because you guys will not have the gospel. So he answers the question, why don't more people believe? But they have not obeyed the gospel. Verse 16, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? But I say, have they not heard? Salvation is by faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. How does hearing come? Hearing comes by preaching God's word. Well, people aren't being saved. Is it because they haven't heard? Is that the only reason? That's definitely part of the reason. But is that the only reason? Those of you who are sharing God's word faithfully, those of you who have ever shared God's word with somebody, know that the end, it's not as simple as that. God's word does have power. But is the only reason that they're not saved because they haven't heard? You hear stories where people tell missionaries, why didn't you come sooner? But what's the other side of the missionary story? Cannibals, martyrs, being thrown out of countries, being thrown in jail, being executed. It's not like man is just desiring for the gospel and God's hiding it from them. The gospel is going out, and people are rejecting it even where it is. That doesn't mean we don't have to continue preaching. That doesn't mean that there may even be a neighbor or a friend of ours who has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. But when they do hear, why don't they believe? Yes. Have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? Again, he's talking about primarily Israel and their salvation. First Moses says unto you, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was fond of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. What's he saying? When Israel rejected, God sent the gospel where? To the Gentiles. He sent the gospel to others who would hear. When we see the mission field, sometimes we wonder, what's a greater mission field? See in Monterrey, Mexico, and yet, no, it's not. In the thousands, some of the Christian universities, Christian colleges here in the U.S., the Lord's doing a great work there. We hear what God's doing in India. We hear about what God's doing in China. We hear about what God's doing in South Korea, in Africa, in Latin America, where it seems like the gospel is just spreading in some places like wildfire. And people are being saved and discipled and trained and starting other churches. The church that we'll be working with in Monterrey has 10 to 12 church plants out of its church. There are certain areas of the world where the Lord is really working. And yet, others, where it seems things are more difficult. The Lord still does this today, I believe. But yet, let's return to verse 1. His desire for his own country was still that they would be saved. That was still his prayer. That was still what he was willing to be condemned for, if that would help, which obviously it wouldn't. That wasn't a possibility. But it just shows how much he still desired for the salvation of those who were rejecting the gospel. Finally, the last verse. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So what do we learn from this passage? Well, first of all, that we need to have a heart for souls. If we have been saved, if we know the joy of our salvation, we should have a desire to share that with others. Second, if we don't share it, there is no way others are going to be saved. If they don't hear the gospel, they're not going to believe. It's that simple. And yet there's more to it. Just because we share the gospel doesn't mean people are always going to respond right away. We prayed for my grandpa for over 20 years. Well, my dad, it would have been over 40 years for his salvation before he finally said he accepted Christ. My mom's dad was just about the same way. And yet, the Lord finally answered that request. And he did that work in their hearts. So what do we learn? We must share the gospel. We must continue to share the gospel. What if they don't respond? Well, God's glorified and God's pleased with our work. What if they don't respond? Well, we know that there will be some who don't. But really, who are they rejecting? Verse 21 says that they're not just rejecting us. It's God who's stretching forth his hands to them through us. And it's him who they're rejecting. 2 Corinthians 5 says that it's as if God asked through us to the world, "Be you reconciled to me." When we share the gospel, we really are sharing God's words. It is really God speaking through us. And that's why it's so powerful. And that's why souls are saved. Even though many will reject. So what do we learn? We have to share the gospel. Even knowing that not everybody is going to respond positively. But when we do that, God is going to be pleased. And really, they're not insulting us. They will one day have to reckon with God, who they are rejecting. And yet, the word is powerful, and it will do its work in its time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement, for the example of Paul, who had a heart for his people, even though he had been persecuted time and time and time again. He was eventually killed for witnessing to them. We see, Father, that you are still doing a work in this world. And yet, if there is no preacher, if we don't share the gospel with others, they can't believe unless they hear. And we thank you that even those who hear and don't believe still, they are no longer our responsibility. It's you who has to do the work in their hearts. And if they refuse, then they're rejecting you. We thank you, Father, that just as you saved us, you are still saving people today. And we thank you, Father, for Heritage. We thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you for those who have invested their lives in us so that we can share your word with others. We pray, Father, that you would continue to help this church to be a light for you and to reach this community for you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.